You're listening to WBHM, and I'm Rachel Lindley. When we talk about the civil rights movement in Birmingham, many names spring to mind. Martin Luther King Jr. and the Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth. But thousands of everyday people participated in the Birmingham campaign in 1963, often risking their own safety and their lives. Author Nick Patterson tells their stories in his new book, Birmingham Foot Soldiers, Voices from the Civil Rights Movement. And he joins me now. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Rachel.
So there are already several books that explore the contribution of Birmingham's foot soldiers. But you mentioned in the introduction, you thought there was still so much more that needed to be told. So what made you decide to explore these stories and then write this book?
Originally, I started writing stories about the foot soldiers back in the 90s when I worked for the Birmingham Post-Herald as a reporter. One of my first stories in this series, if you want to put it that way, was an interview with Fred Shuttlesworth back when he was alive, and also around the time of the Civil Rights Institute's opening. And I interviewed James Armstrong, known now as the Barber of Birmingham. He was still working in his barber shop. But then I also ended up working on a series of stories with a reporter named Sarah Foss and a photographer named Christine Jacob. It was about foot soldiers in Birmingham, and at that point, I began to learn a lot that I did not know already about the foot soldiers and who they were and how many of them there still were. And while I didn't continually write about that over the years, when last year rolled around and it was the 50th anniversary of the Birmingham movement, it came up a lot. And so I was asked by the editor of the History Channel magazine at the time to write a story about the Children's Crusade, which was a crucial part of that campaign. I also, around the exact same time, was contacted by the acquisitions editor at the History Press, the book publisher, and they asked me what I might want to write about, and immediately I thought, foot soldiers. And so that's how I really got back into it. After so many years.
So while there have been other books written on this topic of foot soldiers, why did you explore some of the stories that you did?
Well, some stories have been told and told again. Others, though, I became convinced people just don't know. Because people have been reluctant to talk about it, because there are so many foot soldiers, because in this town a lot of people don't want to hear necessarily stories about the civil rights movement, even though it's a big part of the history of the community, I was convinced that there were a lot of stories that could be told that would be somewhat unplowed ground. And so I sought out people whose stories had been told less or whose stories had been told less publicly or less often. And so I found a number of people whose stories were certainly new to me, and as a consequence of that, I became convinced they'd be new to other people, too. Ray Goolsbee is a perfect example of that.
And tell us a little bit about Ray Goolsbee.
Yeah, Mr. Goolsbee lives across the street from Kelly Ingram Park. He has a view out of his apartment window of Kelly Ingram Park. He volunteers sometimes at the Civil Rights Institute, among many other places. In fact, when I wanted to deliver a book to him after it was published, he was volunteering his time at a daycare center. So he gives his time to a lot of charitable and worthy causes. He's a very kindly man, and yet he was a foot soldier. He had to stand up for what he believed, and he did so when he was a child. He was one of those who participated in the Children's Crusade as a young man, and he talks about why he did it and how his life was different before he did it, and growing up in Birmingham, and how he was motivated to do it.
And you have a selection from his story that you're going to read now.
Yes. And this is, every foot soldier has a chapter. And so Ray's chapter is unique to him. But, of course, some of the aspects of the story are similar. And in his case, he grew up in Titusville, and he had a pretty nice life, he felt, as a young person. But he still noticed some things that were wrong. And so this is kind of where we pick it up. What really opened my eyes when we moved to Titusville, we would have something they called May Day. End of the school year at Center Street School, they'd have a big picnic. And we would go past Kittyland Park or on 3rd Avenue West, which is now the Crossplex at the Alabama State Fairgrounds. And I would say, Dad, How come I can't go in there? It was a Ferris wheel and the train and the bumper cars, and Dad would say, well, one day you will, like that. So we would go out to George Washington Carver Park out in Bessemer, a city about 14 miles southwest of Birmingham, and there were two rides, a swing, time you got in, and a train that would go across a real dusty field. But Mom would fix us tuna sandwiches and stuff, and we had a pop or something, and we'd have a good time. But it still remained in my mind, why can't I go in there? And Dad would say, one day you will. We would get on the bus sometime, pay our fare, and we would have to go to open the back door to get on, you know. And as I grew older, I'd say, something just ain't right here, you know. I remember the board. You know, you'd be sitting down and a white person would get on, and if the bus was full, they would move the board back, and we'd have to get up and stand in the back. And I'd say, something just ain't right here.
And Nick, so many of the people that you talk with for this book, they were teenagers, participants in the Children's Crusade. And Raymond goes on to say, and many other people that you talk to in the book describe how participating in the Birmingham Crusade at such a young age had a very strong, lasting impact on their lives.
Yeah, it's interesting how people who went through something like that come away with very strong memories. A lot of them remember things, details of what they experienced, for example, if they went to jail, what the food was like, what the food smelled like, what it was like to sleep on the cots or the beds without cots or beds without mattresses at the jail or the fairgrounds or wherever they happened to be housed if they were arrested. And many of them came away, though, with a changed attitude about things. Some of them went into their initial protests with fear, and they came out of it, though, with a determination to stand up for what was right and to stand up for their own rights and to not allow themselves to be mistreated. And so you get that with Ray Goolsbee, and you get that with Charles Avery. You get that with a number of others who went into it with something of an attitude that I don't like what's happening here and I want to change it. And they just came out stronger than they were even when they went in.
Well, you said that you've been reporting on the foot soldiers since the 90s when you worked at the Birmingham Post-Herald. But is there anything that surprised you when you were doing research and collecting interviews for this book?
Actually, there were several things that surprised me. One of them, though, was that I knew one of the foot soldiers who I was directed to interview.
And Charles Avery.
Charles Avery, mm-hmm. Yes. My dad used to always talk about Chuck. And I met him, you know, when I was a kid. I was a teenager. And they worked together, and I did not know that he had that history. And so it was funny. I called him on the phone. I'd been given his name. It was sort of a cold call. I called him up and I said, I'm working on this book. I told him my name. He said, wait a minute. What did you say your name was? And so I told him again and he said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, he said, I have been following your career for your entire life. And I said, wow, there's somebody who's been following my career for my entire life. And he said, your father was one of my very best friends. And then I said, wait, Chuck, you're kidding, you know, and I had no idea. And so we sort of got reunited. I hadn't seen him in years. I mean, again, since I was a teenager, I hadn't seen him. And so it was nice to catch up with him and to talk about things that he did as a result of his participation in the movement and how it changed him, and how because of how it changed him, it changed the way he looked at his work and what he did that changed my father's work. My father, at the time, worked for an Alabama Beverage Control Board store, a liquor store, essentially. And he had worked there for years. And when he worked there, essentially, he was not allowed to be a cashier. He had all the black employees had a certain level that they could rise to, but they couldn't get any higher than that. So Chuck had left Alabama after the foot soldiers in the time period after the civil rights movement. He had moved to Chicago. He'd been in the army, gone to Vietnam. He had worked. And then he had moved back here after some changes in his life. But he had moved back with the sense that he was never going to allow himself to be mistreated again. And so he took a test to work for the agency and he passed it. But when he got there and he came to the exact same store my father worked, they essentially tried to put him in the back with the other guys. And he said, I passed the test to be a clerk. I'm going to be a clerk. So once he did, they gave in. And as a result, other people got promoted as well, including my father. Yeah, so it had an impact, you know, economically on my family. And of course, as a kid, I really didn't understand all of that. And I didn't understand a lot of what had taken place or a lot of what the foot soldiers had done. I didn't understand that history. And I think there are a lot of people who live in this area who don't understand it still. And part of the reason I wanted to write this book is because I think there is a significant chunk of this history that people might benefit from knowing and certainly might appreciate knowing. And so a lot of great stories to tell.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Nick Patterson. He's the author of Birmingham Foot Soldiers, Voices from the Civil Rights Movement.